posted his 95 theses on the door of Wittenberg Castle on October 31st. There's a reason he chose that day. It's a highly charged political reason, because October 31st begins a three-day festival in the life of the church: All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day. Luther saw this festival as the space in time, as a prime opportunity to lodge his protest against the transactional nature of the veneration of saints. Pay this, do that, and get heard by one of God's emissaries. He didn't think that was a great idea. All Saints Day began in the 6th century when Pope Boniface IV consecrated the Pantheon to commemorate Christians martyred by the Roman Empire. Its original purpose was as a temple to Athena, but Pope Boniface IV repurposed the building, and he repurposed it for a church in commemoration of the sainted martyrs. By the time of Luther, All Saints was a three-day event, and it was then expunged from Protestant churches for centuries, but found its way back over time. Denominations like ours, who are much more low church, although we're kind of a high church, low church. Anyway, denominations like ours didn't even practice it or think about All Saints Day until, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago. But we have started to recognize this liminal time that we experience in the changing of the seasons, this liminal time between this side of eternity and another. Cultures and religions around the world have ancestor remembrances and even ancestor worship. It often involves the sharing of food. In some cultures, families visit graves and bring a feast to share with the living and the dead. If you've ever been to a cemetery on October 31st, it looks a lot like this. It's a picnic. It's a banquet that bridges the here and now with the hereafter. The memory of the early church is that Jesus invited people to a banquet that is both in the here and now and the hereafter. That space between is thin. The invitation is extended to us through a memory, through this memory, these words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, and I'm going to read them one more time. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they wouldn't come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who've been invited, hey, I've prepared my dinner. The ox and the fat calves have been slaughtered. Everything's ready. Come to the banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops. He destroyed those murderers, burned their city to the ground. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding's ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they had found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But the king came in to see the guests. When he did, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind him up hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Many will be called, but few are chosen." Harsh words. That's pretty harsh stuff, don't you think? Don't we want Jesus to be a little nicer than that? So first, those who had RSVP'd and did not show up were severely punished. Their cities burned down. Then those who actually came on the second call, just one of them didn't dress appropriately. And he was damned. That's pretty harsh. You don't wear the right clothes and you're damned to hell. What's going on? Well, I want you to know something about that first group. That first group that was invited, that was the inner circle. Those are the people in Ganesha Hills, Lincoln Park, and the DPOA. I'm just saying, it's the inside circle. And they were too busy to come. So the slaves go down to Holt Avenue. That's right. They go down to Holt Avenue because this wedding hall is going to be filled up. And indeed it is. And those folks on the outer circle, they would have been provided the right clothes to come in. Hey, have a wedding robe. So to not wear the wedding garment provided, to not don the garment that the host gives you, is to dishonor the host, is to bring dishonor to the host, and to be ungrateful. When we say yes to God's invitation, how genuinely do we make our response? How fully do we make our response? How conditionally do we make our response? Do we figure, God's so sweet and nice, God will always let me in at the next party? I just know God's that way. Do we figure, well, God has to take me as I am, just as I am, without one plea, wrote Fanny Crosby. So I don't have to change into anything different. You have to take me as I am. What about grace, right? Isn't God supposed to have grace for me and take me as I am? If you think that grace is simply being accepted and that doesn't call forth from you anything at all, then you have missed something about the gift. I'd hazard to say, you haven't even fully received it. Grace, truly accepted, begins a change in us that is irresistible. Irresistible. It may take some time. It may take some years for us to be convinced that the grace is ours. But it is, and it may take some time. It's an ongoing, active process in us when we say yes to God's grace. We change over time. We become more and more Christ-like, more and more like our true higher self, which is Christ in us. If we are resistant to change, it's because we are resistant to God's grace. And people are resistant to God's grace because they wonder about their worthiness. God's grace is a gift that demonstrates our worthiness, but then people often resist it because they are uncertain they're worthy. It's this catch-22 we get caught up in. God has provided us garments of transformation in Christ Jesus. We've been given a rack of clothes to try on. That's right, a rack of clothes. And fit it to our own unique light. It is to be clothed with Christ. It isn't the outer garment we wear, but it is our inner work of grace and compassion. God's inner work of grace and compassion in us and with us that causes that light of Christ to shine more brightly from inside out. It's all there. It's all inside you. It's already there. It's ready to be worn in the living of your life. There is a light in you already. You were born with it. There's a light in you from the beginning of time. And sometimes it feels kind of small. And it needs to be inspired by the Spirit of God. It needs to be inspirited with God's presence and God's grace. The baptismal words from the letter to the Galatians remind us that as we were baptized into Christ, we have clothed ourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, there's no longer slave or free, nor male or female. Everyone has the garment of grace, and somehow, miraculously, we all wear it a little differently. And everyone is welcomed at the banquet. There isn't a head table where the good food and good wine is served and a back room for the rabble. No, we're all together. And these clothes of Christ as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, are compassion, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness, and love above all, which bind everything together. The saints in our lives are those who have modeled for us these clothes of Christ, the wedding garment of celebration, who have endeavored to fashion their living after the appearance of Christ. Their struggles and their triumphs inspire us to persevere and to accept the gift of grace that is ours, to allow God to work in us and turn over all the hidden parts that long for healing and all the hidden parts that long for freedom, those gifts that we have to share with the whole world. Imagine that you are at the heavenly banquet. It happens often. This heavenly banquet happens all the time. The table's always set and the banquet's prepared and ready. And at this particular setting, at the 10:30, 10:45 setting on this Sunday, nourished today by the word of God in Christ Jesus, who are the two or three people? Who are two or three people you'd want to share the table with today? Two or three people who've been saints in your own life, shining in their own way the light of Christ, who modeled for you the kind of change that happens when we become more and more Christ-like. I think of a woman from whom some of my first memories of Jesus came. She was easily over 70 years old when I was in the second grade attending a weekly afternoon program for elementary school children. It was held in the church where I was first baptized, Huntington Park United Methodist Church. I was first sprinkled. Yes, I was sprinkled. And the UMC, the United Methodist Church, Huntington Park, is still there. It's still there on the corner of Gage and Rita Avenue, unlike the Disciples Church, which was at the other end of Rita Avenue. We gathered in the gymnasium after school, having been driven and dropped off. We played games, sometimes softball, sometimes kickball, on the wooden floor of the basketball court. And the wooden bleachers, most of them tucked away inside themselves. This is an old, old church built in the 20s. An amazing, amazing facility. And once we worked up a sweat, we were given communion, red punch and cookies. Yes. And then they expected us to sit quietly. And we did. We were escorted through the church into the side entry of the sanctuary, which to the child I was felt twice as big as this church, and was filled with light, because on the west wall was a wall of stained glass that shone on the east wall a mural of the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, and it was crowded with people. It must have been, 30 to 40 feet high and twice as long. Big mural. And this woman would set us down, 15 to 30 of us, in the pews, and tell us a story of somebody on that wall and how they related to Jesus. I don't know if it came from the Bible or not. I don't know that that was important. I just knew a story about Jesus and how he connected with someone in that picture. I'd like to sit with that woman, whose name I can't remember. I'd like to sit with her and hear her story. How she came to be so convinced of the love of Jesus that she was able to communicate that in some way to the 7-year-old I was. What a gift she gave. Why did she share with those of us who are 2 or 3 generations her junior, spend her afternoon with us? Prepare. I know as an adult how much she prepared for us to sit at the banquet. I want to know what she hoped for the church and for the body of Christ. Spiritual writer and priest Henry Nouwen writes that as we grow older, we have more and more people to remember. People who have died before us. It is very important to remember those who have loved us and those we have loved. Remembering them means letting their spirits inspire us in our daily lives. They can become part of our spiritual communities and gently help us as we make decisions on our journeys. Parents, spouses, children, friends can become true spiritual companions even after they have died. Sometimes they can become even more intimate to us after death than when they were with us in life. Remembering the dead is choosing their ongoing companionship. Remembering our saints can be one way we wear more fully the garment of celebration that God intends for each of us. Allowing them to be our spiritual companions gives us encouragement for the transformation which we are always undertaking as we learn to accept, as we learn to receive the grace of God that is freely given to us. Amen. Maybe you've been pondering people in your lives who are still a light for you, and you would like to come and light a candle in their honor, in their memory. If you would prefer to have someone else light that candle for you, we'll bring a candle to you, Alicia or I, and we'll be up front and we'll be looking for you and allow you to hold that candle for a moment of blessing, and then we'll bring it up and put it in the